Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. For God, having promised to Abraham, since he had no greater to swear by, swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And thus, having had long patience, he got the promise. For men indeed swear by a greater, and with them the oath is a term to all dispute, as making matters sure. Wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath, that by two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil, where Jesus is entered as forerunner for us, become for ever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This scripture came to me as speaking of these unchangeable things, but also of the strong encouragement. It's interesting that the two should be put together here, thinking of what our brothers have already said to us. That God delighted in Abraham. He's the one, as we know, from to whom the promises were given. And they have come right down to us because Christ was in mind. And Abraham, we're told, he believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Wonderful pattern he is of a believer. Mm. Just simply believing, not trying to attain to anything, but just simply putting his trust in God, that although it might seem impossible to him, yet God was able to do it. What he had promised, he was able also to do. So then it says there was a second thing. There was the oath he swore. And it's interesting that that comes in after Abraham was tried. And he was spared, after Isaac was spared, that it's as if it comes, you might say, after the figure of death and resurrection. That the promise is connected with the provision of the Son, but then there is something which is established on the basis of the death and resurrection of Christ as seen in a figure. We're told that Isaac was received from the dead in a figure. It's a figure to us, as I've said, of the actual resurrection of Christ. So you think of what God has established on the basis of the coming of Christ and of his finished work. So that it says here that we should have a strong encouragement. Wonderful, not just an encouragement, but a strong encouragement. So I think these things are made good in us by the Holy Spirit, aren't they? What encouragement could we have naturally? But, you know, it's God who has given everything. He who, yea, has not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him grant us all things? Surely that would give us a strong encouragement, wouldn't it? That God has loved us. He's given his Son. He's given us the promise and the oath. They've come down to us. Think what they meant to Abraham, but you think how we see them now in the light of the new covenant, that God has given everything and now we can look back to the finished work of Christ. Abraham was looking on to the coming of Christ, but what an advantage we have now in the new covenant. So a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge. Well, certainly we need refuge, don't we? If we get discouraged, well, we can find refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Well, that's something else which we have. We have a hope set before us. The hope of the coming of the Lord, what a wonderful time that is going to be, isn't it? And I trust that everyone here does have that hope, that because it is set before us. It's something which is unchangeable, the hope which is set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul. Interesting expression that as well, isn't it? An anchor. Why do you think of the soul needing an anchor? It's as if it would so easily drift around. You know, the anchor is provided just to keep us, to stop us from drifting around, to stop us being turned aside, perhaps if maybe we haven't known the Lord for very long, there might be things which would come in to discourage us and perhaps to try to move us. But there is an anchor for the soul, as it says, both secure and firm. And then it says, and entering into that within the veil. Well, our brother was talking about the sanctuaries. You think of the privilege that we have now, a privilege that the psalmist didn't, that we can enter into what is within the veil. We get it mentioned in the Old Testament, the service within the veil, but it's never developed because the priesthood was not great enough for it. But we have Jesus, who has entered in as forerunner for us, who has become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He's the one, as we know, who has no beginning and no end. The one who was set up an order of priesthood which is far superior to anything which could come in under the old covenant. But what we have now is in the new covenant, and it's set up in this great high priest, this high priest which became us. Thus, this dispensation, those who are Christians, those who are saved, belonging to the assembly. What a wonderful thing is to be saved, isn't it? That, as has been said, there are so many people in this world. But those who are Christians can just marvel at the fact that God has brought them into blessing. We have this high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, may we be encouraged, brethren, for his name's sake.
Amen.